Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast. My name, as always, is Justin J. Moore, and I help coaches and entrepreneurs launch podcasts that only take them 1 hour a week to manage. Now, if you want to create that amazingly professional and eye-catching looking home studio setup for your podcast that also sounds amazing, the sound is rich and warm, and everything is just on point, then this episode is going to be a huge, huge step in the right direction for you. I learned a ton, and I already knew so much about home studio, especially on the audio side. But my guest today, Junaid Ahmed, he opened up so many doors for me. He gave me so many actionable insights. He's a complete expert at creating home studios for YouTube videos, for podcasting, whatever you might need it for, maybe just for Zoom calls. And he's helped hundreds and hundreds of people create amazing studios. He's a total expert at that, and so I knew I had to bring him on. We get into stuff like how you can use your iPhone camera instead of your laptop webcam to get amazing quality, the microphone that you choose, like there's a right kind and a wrong kind of microphone. I mean, I already knew that, but he gave me a lot of insight on that as well. How to position your camera so that you're like in the right spot in the frame, which is a thing I never think about. The stuff that you have in the background and making sure that it aligns with your personality. Again, not something I think about a ton. And also the three lights that you need in order to look super, super professional on camera. Lighting is a big thing. I mean, camera is one thing, but lighting is a big thing. He talks about like how you can have a light on your face and on your head and the back. It's amazing. Like seriously, this was one of the best episodes I've ever recorded. So just sit back, enjoy, take notes if you need. I think there's like 8 to 10 really actionable takeaways, many of which are completely free that you can just go and implement into your show tomorrow just by making a simple change that'll make a drastic difference on the quality. So let's get right into it. Okay, Junaid, welcome to Oh My Pod. Thanks for making the time. I'm excited to chat with you.
Hey, I'm super excited to be here as well. Thanks so much, Justin, for bringing me on.
Yeah, totally, man. And you're a podcast host yourself. We'll link your show below. Have you ever been on a podcast about podcasting before?
All the time, man. It's all about podcasting.
Yeah, totally, totally. Okay, good. I got a lot of guests on here who have, you know, they have shows themselves, but in totally different ways. And I want to just pick their brain about how they grew their show. And usually I'm like the first podcast they've ever been on about podcasting. So it's very
interesting.
Meta. Yeah. But the reason why I'm super excited about having you on here is because I've never had anybody with your set of skills on here, which mainly, I'm sure you have many other skills, but mainly what we're going to be chatting about today is your studio setup for your podcast, a mixture of audio and video things, some lighting stuff. And specifically, as I mentioned in the intro, we're going to be talking about 5 things. And if we get carried away, that might even be a bonus thing or something, but just like actionable changes, takeaways that people can immediately turn around and implement into their podcast studio setup onto their show so that they can look better and sound better. And, you know, maybe certain things will be on a budget and other things might be a little bit more expensive or a more expensive option, but I'm sure we'll get into that. But for somebody who, like, I mean, I know that you are an expert at what you do. I know that you're fantastic at what you do, but for somebody who's never maybe heard of you before, could you maybe just give like a brief rundown of what led you here and why you're, I guess, quote unquote, qualified to speak about this?
Absolutely, man. So my name is Junaid Luck Lemonade, and I've been a photographer and filmmaker for a long time. So photography has been, you know, some of the things I've been doing with photography is just being passionate about taking photos and whatnot. But then it wasn't until 2013 that I got into filmmaking with a DSLR camera. Well, not just filmmaking, but I spent more time in crafting and solidifying my expertise and my skills. And what I did is I spent a ton of hours, a ton of money, and took over 15 courses in the power of filmmaking and power of video production and how cameras are used to not just set up the scene, but to capture the story, to capture what is the message being delivered by the speaker, by the actor, by what have you. So I spent a ton of time behind the camera understanding all the tech and all the things that go into making a really nice shot. Now, being the person who I am, I'm a huge technology nerd. I'm a tech enthusiast. And been handling a camera since I was 13 years old. So taking that into account, years, you know, fast forward, and I've just been really fascinated by technology and been using technology and getting better at it. And as time progressed, you know, better and better tech is always on the horizon. And what I realized that, you know, it's the tech is going to get better all the time because companies want to sell their equipment. But the storytelling is always going to be the same. You got to get that storytelling down. So when it came time for me to step in front of the camera, I was fully shy. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I've been behind the camera and I know what to do with that aspect of it. How do I get better at delivering the message on video? And because luckily I had been podcasting for a few years, I had that kind of down because I was spending time asking questions and answering questions over video. Those are some of the things that make me qualified on why I even talk about home studio and, you know, calling myself the home studio architect.
Totally. And you showed me this thing where you can like map somebody's room out and get a full like 3D picture. When I saw that, I was like, oh boy, like that is so cool. Obviously, my music background, one of the things that I had to do when I was setting up a studio to record vocals for tracks was something like that, where I like bought a microphone and it like rang frequencies around my room and we did a whole test kind of thing. So love that. But why don't we jump right into some of the things that people can do like immediately to kind of fix up their studio. Now, some people might be at different points in this, but the first thing that I want to talk about, because it's what I'm thinking about frequently, is the camera. Now, like I'm just using my laptop camera right now. One of the main reasons for this is that I move a lot. I don't really have a permanent space at the moment. So setting up a studio is just not really an option, which has led me down the path of wanting to get a webcam. And I talked to you about that briefly and you kind of had some opinions about webcams that I want to know more about. But just let's just talk about camera. So what are some options for people to get, you know, good or even great video quality for their podcast?
Well, webcams that come with your laptop, especially if you have the newer generation MacBooks, they have, you know, they do 1080p, which is a really good system, and they put a good system of lenses in there. So it's a lot better than the webcams I was using. But one thing that we all carry in our pockets, the smartphone, can also be used as a webcam. In fact, the latest version of the operating system on both your iPhone and your MacBook will pair them together so that you can easily use and activate your phone as a webcam for your computer. And that already is giving you a higher level of video coming into your podcast recording.
So you could like put a stand, like some type of like tripod stand, and just like horizontally tilt your phone just like behind your laptop or something and just use that. Dang. And you're saying that the new iOS allows you to link up your MacBook so it can automatically, like the files are easy to, wow, that's really cool.
It's not just files. It'll activate, it's called the continuity camera. So it'll activate so that you tell your Mac, hey, use the iPhone camera. And then you turn the camera, you know, you turn the iPhone using the back camera. In fact, they have some attachments for your monitor that you can use to using MagSafe to connect your camera, you know, on top of your monitor, and you have an immediately higher video quality coming into your computer for your Zoom calls and whatnot.
Wow. So so I see what you're saying. You can actually see live the video from the phone as your video coming onto Zoom or coming onto Riverside, or that's pretty cool. First of all, I did not know about that technology. And for some reason, I often forget about using your phone. Now, a question that I think people might be thinking at this point is like, what about an attachable webcam onto the laptop? Because if I think about myself, like I said, I move around a lot. The idea of a little webcam that I can just clip on is really attractive. So is there maybe like a webcam that does what the phone does that is kind of like usable?
Yes, of course there are. I mean, there's things from Logitech. There's things from the OBS bot. They have 4K cameras. They can track and they can, you know, do a lot of cool things. They have a larger sensor. They have better camera lenses on those webcams, they can definitely do a better job overall. Again, it'll also come down to the amount of light that you're providing that camera. Because I can have a really high-end camera like this, but if I don't provide it any lighting and I'm going to turn off my lights, I don't know if that's going to help, but I'm going to...
So for anybody listening, go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube, check out what I'm doing. So I'll turn off all the lights in my room. And even though I have a really nice camera, you can't really see me in the lens and the sensor is really struggling. Because I have everything dialed in to say, hey, just lock in the ISO. You just see a clear image of me with not everything light up. So what I'll turn on one light at a time. So you have my key light. This is my main light.
So this is like overhead,
overhead in front of me, overhead lighting just my face, right? So I'll make sure that everybody can see my face. Then I've got a hair light. Even though I'm a little bald, you can still see my shoulders, you know, can see the dimensions of my shoulders and, you know, everything coming in. Then I've got an additional light over here called a fill light, which is then adding more lighting to the background and, you know, so you can see more of me. And then to separate the background, I've added some more lights back there to, again, stand out. And, you know, that becomes my, you know, by
so
brand.
Cool. Wait, that is, I've never seen a demonstration like that. Like, I've been looking for something like that for so long. So, okay, to summarize, you have a front light on lighting your face. You have a top light giving you kind of like outlines your hair and everything. And then you have a kind of back white light that kind of just fills the room. And then you have colored backlights of red and blue or whatever.
So we call them the talent lighting, which is the key light, the fill light, and then the hair light. So those three lights, you know, I call it the talent lighting. Then you have ambient lighting, which is everything in my background. So if I were to, let's say, turn off the talent lighting, all you see is the background.
Yeah.
Right, so
looks pretty cool, but like, yeah, of course you can't really see
your face. It's very mysterious, right?
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you're bringing all of these things together. You know, it's like the cake is never like, yes, everybody can bake a cake, but then it all comes down to how good can you ice it? How good can you decorate it? And you know, what kind of fillings are in there? Like, so it all comes together when you put the different types of lights together.
Yeah. So is there a particular type of light or like kind of like, because I'm just thinking about if I was listening, what I'd be asking, and I'd be thinking about how much a light should cost and if there was something maybe to steer clear of, or even just like a brand that you do recommend.
Yes. So number one thing that I would like everybody to steer clear of is ring lights. Do not go by those ring lights.
Everybody asks me, they're like, oh, I've got a ring light. Like, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Ring lights are a thing of the past. Not just that, but they were initially introduced to the photography industry because it makes really good photography lights, and they work really good for close-up, you know, camera shots. But when you're using it as a light source to light up a bigger scene, it's not powerful enough. So what I recommend is flat panel lighting, LED lights that you can, you know, get anywhere as cheap as $50 to $60 for a single panel, up to, you know, $200 for a single panel. Again, based on your budget, you can start with one, then keep adding. And then even if you don't want to start with lighting, make sure you use the light that you have naturally available. For example, you're facing a window.
I'm facing a window.
Top, right? You're facing a window. I've seen your shots. Use that window. Use that light the proper way. And if you use it, you know, behind your camera and facing you, then perfect. You're going to have a lot of mileage out of that one.
And what if somebody was going to say, okay, like, I can't do all three. I can do one. I'd say it's probably the key light, the one that lights the face. That's the most important, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, start with the key light.
Yeah.
And then, you know, add on as you go and build budget.
Okay. That's really cool. And I'm sure that you'll get into specifics on this in your 5-day challenge that we're going to link below. So for specifics, like I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff that I couldn't even imagine in there, but 100% you got it. Like if this is something you want to take seriously, go sign up for that. But okay, let's continue. We've done camera, we've done lighting. My mind is already like like this is one of the most valuable episodes that I think I've done in a long time. So let's talk about, okay, we also already talked about backlighting as well. So the next thing would probably be your, let's just briefly touch on audio. Now I've talked about audio and I actually just recently did an episode on microphone distance and technique and just sort of very basic like room setup. But let's hear your advice when somebody says, how do I use my microphone? What do you say to them?
Well, make sure that you have a dedicated microphone to begin with, right? Anything that's a dynamic microphone is much more forgiving when you have outside sounds, as opposed to a condenser mic with everybody's literally pushing on you, because Logitech has a ton of marketing dollars behind that blue brand.
Oh, that's Logitech?
Yeah, Blue is owned by Logitech.
I did not know. Oh, that's why they have such a budget, because people are using that microphone like crazy. And when I found out that it was a condenser, I was like, what? Like, yeah. So for everybody listening, like you did a good job of explaining it, but it's like, I use condenser microphones for vocal recording when I'm doing like session vocals for songs, because the extra fidelity, like the extra detail and color is like, a lot of times I need that. But dynamic is like a stage microphone. It's like forgiving, like you can move it around. There's sounds outside that don't get picked up as well. And so for like, I see that, I think you're using the Shure MV7, right?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah, the MV7 would definitely be my recommendation as well for, I guess you could say budget, definitely more cheaper than the SM7B, but still like really comparable quality. Yeah.
And what's cool is that Shure saw that happening in 2020 and they released that microphone specifically for podcasting. So if you look at it, they call it the podcasting microphone, the MV7. So it's really great. Again, it all comes down to, are you all doing audio only podcasts? And this is, works great. Even with video only, I've been using this for the past few years, and I've placed it about a fist away from my mouth. And then I've placed it below my face because my audio, as I'm speaking, audio automatically falls as it goes forward. So even if I had my microphone moved away a little further from me, you could still hear me the same value, because voice has the tendency to fall down. So as it's falling down, it's right in front of my microphone. So let me show you this. My side shot is dead.
This is crazy. So here, you got to watch this on YouTube, guys. This is so freaking trippy.
So I've got the microphone right here. And I've, as I'm speaking, you can, you know, it's going directly into the microphone. And when I look, switch back to this shot, you can't really see the microphone.
Wow. Incredible. So one thing that I just learned is that the voice falls somehow. Years of recording and listening to people talk about recording have passed me by, and I have never heard that before. Maybe once, maybe I wasn't listening. I've never been an amazing listener. But so voice falls. So, okay. So my question is for anybody watching on the video, this is a very video focused episode. I highly recommend checking YouTube out on this one. But for me, one thing that I have been struggling with, I'm not a video person. I'm a audio person. I do video on my podcast because I think it's essential for connecting with listeners and for making content afterwards. But my question was getting to the question. I was kind of long-winded, but I'm not a video guy was what my main thing was. I'm more on the audio side. And so you can see my microphone right now is on a boom like arm stand. And I know that a lot of people use those arm stands because they're super convenient. But your microphone like is obviously, it's in a really nice spot. Like it's dead center in the middle. It's barely in the shot. Looks super professional. How do you help people set up their mics so that they're looking like that?
So, you know, that's one of the things that I talk about when we're talking about room analysis in my workshop and when I'm consulting, because I want to understand, hey, how big is the room? And where can we place the camera so that the mic is out of the shot?
Get it. So it's a camera placement.
It's a camera placement because audio falls. And we're also looking at what's the angle of view when we're setting up that camera. And that angle of view decides, hey, how far everything needs to be, how close everything needs to be. And because of that, think of a triangle. So from the sensor, it's a triangle out. So if you're, you know, below this shot, the lens is below the shot. So the angle from there is coming down, you know, like this. So it becomes below the shot. So I'm always looking at those things and, you know, figuring out where you want to place a microphone. Now, a lot of the times people want the microphone in the shot because they want that Joe Rogan kind of look. And then on some shots, there are no microphones at all. And you will see a lot of their setup as well. And in that space, they're using boom microphones.
Okay, yeah.
Those boom microphones are barely above where the lens is. And, right, so, and because boom microphones can pick up sound from a specific direction, they work really good.
The biggest thing that I took away from that was definitely like you can have a microphone that's barely in the shot if that's the style that you're going for. But if you want to include the microphone in the shot, like for instance, I for what I do, the main thing that I do with my studio setup is not live streams, not like I do a lot of Zoom calls, but that's not like the main thing is my podcast recording. And I like to have my microphone in it. I also like, you know, I have the SM7B. I mostly use it for vocals for my, you know, that's the main reason I bought the expensive one. But I like to show that I have this microphone because it gives me credibility as well when I'm working with people. It's like, I've tried this one, I've tried other, I've got my microphones in the back and everything. So yeah, okay. So we've touched on a lot of stuff. We've touched on lighting, our camera, lighting, microphone / like room setup. Is there anything else on like the room setup side of things on the audio side? Like for instance, like soft, hard surfaces or different strategies for that you help people with?
100%, because half the battle of setting up your sound in your room is making sure that you don't have those hard surfaces to bounce that audio back into the microphone. So you want to make sure that you have plenty of things on your wall that are breaking up that sound. You have plenty of things on the floor. So I recommend carpets, I recommend curtains, I recommend posters and photos and all those things on your walls so that it's breaking up the sound when it's trying to come back to your microphone. Of course, sound absorption, curtains by the door, you know, all those things are also going to help because again, it's going to absorb the sound and keep it from coming back into the microphone because you want it as pure as possible. And here's how important sound is for video. Bad sound or good sound will make a video look good, but a bad sound will make that video look bad.
100%.
Right. And the power of audio is so much that when you have your audio dialed in, people can recognize your voice in person without even seeing your face. Like, oh my God, it's Junaid. I hear the sound. I hear the voice. And then they can, you know, they can recognize it and make that connection.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, of course, like if I saw a great video setup with really terrible audio quality, for me, even especially for me, that would completely ruin the cred, like the credibility of that studio. So that's really great. There was one thing that I was thinking during that. Oh yeah, I did this in an episode a little while ago, but I recommend even like for some people putting like even like a blanket over their desk or just like having, because I think the desk for a lot of people reflects. But the biggest thing is not using the condenser microphone, not using the Blue Yeti, because that is going to make your life in your room and setting up your sound, it's going to make it so much more difficult to get that level of audio quality that you want. Anything else to add? Because I think at that point, like the next step should be for them to, for anybody listening to go in and take part in your challenge and even connect with you. But any other kind of things that you would add that we think we missed out on?
Yes. So because we're setting up your stage, because we're setting up your video, people are going to see what's in your shot. Right. So you want to light up yourself, you want to light up the room, and you want to decorate what's behind you. Like right now, because the lens I'm using, you can't really see what's behind me, but I've got a bookshelf. I've got some cool figures back here, you know, Star Wars and whatnot. Got some stormtroopers in there. I've got some books back there. I've got lots of different things that are basically speak to what I'm into. So bring your personality into your shot, you know. So that's something that I think you need to work on, Justin. I think you can do a lot with the setup that you've got going on.
Totally.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what could I... It's so difficult because, you know, like I hang something or I do something like that and then I move. I tried to put like, you know, like for instance, I think books are a good way to tell people what you're like, kind of how you operate and what you think. But what's a change that you would recommend in my little box here?
The number one thing that I would recommend is, first of all, you have a lot of headspace. So I would remove all of the headspace.
So just bring the camera angle down.
Yeah, you angle it down or tilt it down because there you go. So the smaller space you have up top, more space you have down here too for subtitles and all those things.
Yeah, this is already better. About,
right? It's already better because you're like, hey, we're almost like sitting level now. The next thing is when you're delivering, I mean, I know this is an audio podcast, but you're also recording video. Try your best to look at the camera lens.
That is such a good point. Oh, I was thinking about that earlier and I was going to ask you like where, because it's so awkward, right? Because you're like not looking at the person's face at that point.
Right. Right.
Dang. So are you looking at the camera the whole time?
I'm looking at the camera. So I had to train myself for a couple of weeks, maybe a year. I trained myself to look at the lens specifically. And then I know some hacks are, you know, you could put a photo of your best friend up there because you're recording, you know, content. And then what I do now is I use a teleprompter. And a teleprompter enables me to put the entire video or entire browser window for, we're using Riverside. So entire window is on that teleprompter window on monitor. So now I see you, I see myself. And right behind that image is the sensor.
Got it. Wow. That's okay. That's a big one. Put things behind you that show your personality and that add kind of texture and color. And then camera as little space as possible above the head and looking into the webcam when talking or looking into the camera when talking. That last one is difficult because I think a lot of us, like I'm not even going to try right now. I'm going to have to think about that. But I like you want to see the person's face, you know? And so but I know exactly what you're saying because at that point, then you're kind of like, you're just looking down to wherever the person's face is on the screen, not actually at the camera. So
now the cool part is we have tech to save us, right? So I think Descript has the technology where it'll correct your eye's positioning.
Oh, gosh.
So if you're looking to the side or down, it'll kind of try to like make it so looking into the lens. It's kind of interesting. I've seen some ads and whatnot, but again, they have very special, you know, setups or maybe, you know, it works if you're looking side to side as opposed to down because you still have that white of the eye showing up. Again, it's really interesting. And then the other thing that I've done is, I look to the side, like I'm not looking at the monitor. I'm just looking off to the side because it kind of reflects as, you know, when you're talking to somebody, you look off to the side, you're looking up, you know, you're thinking, you're accessing things in your brain. So doing those kind of things also kind of like gives you a more natural kind of look.
Yeah, rather than just like staring at the camera lens.
Rather than staring directly into the camera, you know, you want to be more natural as if you're talking to the person. You know, when we're in person, we're talking to each other.
Got it. Okay, so tons and tons of more than I even could have expected. Like it's crazy how every facet of expertise has so much depth that you never think about. So many best practices and things to avoid and things to improve. So this answers about 8 questions, I'm sure, that everybody asks me all the time. You know, I kind of fell into video a little bit. I don't necessarily want to be here. I like audio, but I think a lot of these things are like really actionable. Like, I mean, the webcam thing, the space above the head, like those are completely free ways that you're just doing it wrong. Just switch up the way you're doing it and you get a better output. So yeah, appreciate everything. Appreciate all that advice. It's crazy. I'm really looking forward to sharing this with my people and with the listeners because it's huge, man. It's great.
One of the things that you and I both realize is you're never good the first time around. I mean, you've been singing for a long time. And if you were to compare your first stuff to your latest stuff, you know, there's a huge amount of growth. And it all comes from repetition, right? So the more repetition, the more bad videos that you do, the more good videos you're going to come out with. I think it was Seth Godin and somebody told him like, hey, I want a New York bestseller book. So he asks him, well, where's your bad writing? Like, what do you mean? Where's your bad writing? Like, if you haven't written at all, that bad stuff is still in you.
Oh,
you gotta
that's
get
cool.
out of it. You got to get it out to get to the good stuff. And now Seth Godin, I mean, he's had the longest emails in history. He's been emailing since before the internet started.
Oh my gosh.
Every single day, he writes a blog and sends that email out.
Every day?
Every single day. It's called Seth's.blog. Every single day, he has a new blog post. And it's not a huge long blog post, anywhere from 300 to 600 words. And it's like to the point, and you're like, holy shit, you know, my brain, sorry, didn't mean to.
Oh, you can. I don't care.
But it's like, holy shit, you know, this is mind blowing. I can't believe like how much dense this information is. It's because he's gotten rid of all the bad stuff. It's all the good stuff.
Yeah. So that's another big just thing in podcasting in general is just like, the show doesn't even really start until like 24 episodes in, 50 episodes in. Like, you got to find your footing and put the reps in. So yeah, this has been great, man. I really appreciate, you know, taking the time. I know your kids just came home, but you're spending the time on the call with me. So just want to really express gratitude for that. And now we've talked a few times about like what, you know, where people can go if they're like, all right, I got to get deeper into this. So just briefly, like, what's this 5-day challenge? And link will be below, but what's the overview of it?
Yeah. So the 5-day challenge I call it the Home Studio Rehab. It's an hour a day for 5 days. And we go over room analysis, lighting, audio, camera and lenses, and studio design. So these five things are basically the five pillars that bring your studio together. So you've got, you know, analyze your room, design your room, get the right audio, get the right lighting, and get the right camera, and you're good to, and then you're golden. So I go in details into every single of those aspects. There's a list of gear, list of different ways you can set up your room, all sorts of things that you can, you know, think of what other people are doing. We set up a studio in a 8 foot by 9 foot room, and how are you able to fit all of this thing in? Because it all comes down to the camera lenses, it all comes down to how you're setting up the lighting, how much room you have. So again, so many different ways that you can put rooms together that, you know, blow people's minds away. So totally.
Sounds perfect for somebody who's trying to take this really seriously. So I love it. We will we'll link that. I think that's it. Any parting words or gifts?
Man, if somebody's coming on here and listening to, hey, we're talking about podcasting, about podcasting. If you're on the fence to start a podcast, I would say do it now as soon as possible without giving it another thought, because the moment you get started, you will start answering the questions that are in your mind. You'll start to overcome those challenges. And it's like, kids don't think about, oh, I want to learn how to walk. No, they just do.
Yeah. Trial by fire.
So, yeah. So just do it.
Yeah. Great. Awesome, man. Thank you for the time. Can't wait to put this out into the world. And for anybody listening, if you really, really want to take your studio to a whole other level, just go into the show notes and it'll be there. That's it. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.